such a weird angle. Oh no! Oh no! You fucking. Let me get you back up. All right, ready? Well, hey, Vanya.
Hi, Meg Jensen.
How are you doing today? How's it going?
It's a day. It's good. You know, same old stuff. Just making my way through the mire and the muck.
Yeah, it's been kind of a crazy week over here because I've had family in town. You know how that goes.
Oh, yes, I do. And especially in New York, it's such a, there's so much to do.
It's kind of rough. And like we will, you know, we'll get to it. But it's hard because we did so much and you could kind of tell that, I don't know, the conversation was had towards the end of like, is there a way that we can have like a nice relaxing New York vacation one of these times, you know? Because it's fun to do things, obviously, and I'm a really active person. So like I want to like go, go, go and do the next thing.
Yeah, right.
But not everyone wants to do that. And you could kind of, I could see that like the days would start early. And even, I mean, for me, like there were like 6:30 in the morning days kind of thing. Yeah. Well, all right. So here's some of the things
we
did.
Give it to me. Give it all because I want to hear.
Yeah. So our last full day, I'll kind of tell this out of order a tiny bit, but our last full day, my niece Callie had gotten us tickets to do what was called the Hard Hat Tour of Ellis Island. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I was like, well, I'm down. Like, it sounds like it'll be interesting. And for some reason, the instructions said that you had to take the ferry from the New Jersey part of the tour. And I, in retrospect, I don't think that that mattered because you end up in the same place no matter what.
Oh, funny.
So I don't know why it had us doing that, but kind of the only, or at least the most convenient way to get to where it said we had to check in was to take a ferry from Battery Park City across to New Jersey. And then it was like a pretty quick shot across the Hudson. And then you pulled into your first stop and then you just waited for a second because then it kind of like pulled out and then went literally right across to what is Liberty State Park in New Jersey.
Okay.
Now, as I say that I don't think that was necessary. Like, I don't think we needed to go that way because then we literally just then took. So there are like two different loops if you're doing Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty. And one goes from Manhattan, New York, Battery Park, to the Statue of Liberty, to Ellis Island, back to New York. That's its loop.
Got it.
The New Jersey one does the opposite. It goes New Jersey, Ellis Island, Statue of Liberty, New Jersey. So we ended up taking, and it doesn't matter. Like, once you're on one of them, like, you've paid for whatever. Like, you can take any ship, any of those locations, really as many times as you want. Because no one, once you're there, it's just assumed that you bought a ticket because, you know, you're there.
Yeah, right.
So we, first of all, so then being in this place in New Jersey, walking up, it was kind of like, what is that thing off in the distance? It was this really strange looking structure, but it was the remains of like an old railroad station. And Ooh. This was the railroad station, yeah, that like once you were approved at Ellis Island to stay in the United States, only a fairly small percentage of people went then to New York. Most people then went to this train station that was just a small ferry ride across from Ellis Island. And it's like 20 railroad cars or tracks.
Wow.
Where like trains were leaving every 5 minutes. And there was a room. Some of this I knew and some I didn't, but it was all really fascinating. There was a room in Ellis Island where once you were like approved, you would basically say like, well, this is where I'm going. I'm going to Pittsburgh, I'm going to Seattle, I'm going whatever, ran, and they would literally pin a thing on you that said your destination, because most likely you didn't speak English.
Oh,
most
wow.
likely you couldn't speak the language, so there were translators there. They'd be like, okay, this is where you're going. They would pin it on you, and that way conductors on the train could literally look at that and be like, you need to go to track 5.
Scary.
Or like, you're getting off at this place, that's your next train over there. Like, it was really, really fascinating. And of course, none of the trains are there anymore. It's all just empty tracks. But it was a really like amazing facility to have seen and to like be there and be around. And then so we took the ferry to Ellis Island, and the hard hat tour wasn't starting for like an hour and a half. So we kind of did like the walk around the museum. And I'd done this before with my parents, I think back in like 2004 or something like that. It was a really long time ago. Yeah, but it was fun being there again and kind of like taking it in. And so then we got ready for this hard hat tour and I didn't know what it was going to be. But what it was because Ellis Island at one point was three different piers, for lack of a better word. And one was what we think of Ellis Island, and it's what is now the museum, but was where you would go and check in and be inspected. And the other two piers, one was, oh gosh, I'm going to say it wrong, but it was basically a hospital. And then the next pier over was like hospice or like infectious disease control, basically. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And they're all completely run down. Like from the outside, they kind of look okay. They're like a little haunted house-ish where like you can kind of tell that they're falling in a bit. And they're slowly trying to not necessarily make them perfect, but kind of make them look like they would have looked. Because most of these things were abandoned in the 50s. And then parts of it were taken over by certain parts of the armed forces. But a lot of it just laid empty. And a lot of it, you know, it's just offshore from New Jersey. So there were decades where people would come over on a boat and either live there for a minute or, say, steal all the copper. And it's really fallen into disrepair. There's this one hall we walked down that was all brick walls. And he pointed out on the wall this mark where like the brick was sort of had almost looked bleached a bit 4 feet up, and it was all from Hurricane Sandy. That like that's how high the floodwaters had gotten on Ellis Island.
Oh dang.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And like just even the way that the hospitals were set up, so that there were wings on both, like in the infectious disease part of it. Yeah, seriously, they talked about tuberculosis so much, and it was so dusty that I started coughing. I was like, well, I have TB now. Like, it's still here. It has remained all these years later. And the way it's set up, we're like, say there's this TB ward here, and then across from that in the hallway is an open window. Or eventually windows they could kind of like open, so that literally there couldn't be any cross-contamination into a wing across. And then like 6 feet down was a wing on the other side of the building, if that makes sense. So like nothing was across from anything else to try to keep everyone as separate as possible.
Oh,
it was
God.
Really fascinating. And they sort of talked about like the things that were put into place. And part of it was Florence Nightingale. Literally, like this was like where she implemented all of these things that she had discovered or thought were true and really did help fight the spread of infectious disease. It was very fascinating. And like to go, say, like an hour and a half going through all of these different hospital wings and seeing where the different stations were. It was really fascinating. And then, you know, going over to the Statue of Liberty. I'd been there once before and we didn't have a lot of time because, you know, as it gets later, the ferries get more and more crowded.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to like risk it and wait for the last ferry. So we were probably on the island where the Statue of Liberty is for about less than, you know, like 45 minutes.
Did you only have to have your hat on for the dilapidated?
Correct. Yeah. So
it
was just those two little things. And I don't know that we needed to have a hard hat on, but I guess it was kind of in disrepair.
I mean, that's
like
scary.
I suppose there is the idea. Yeah. And there were certain like parts where you would look down a hallway and it was just like everything was sort of caved in. It was also like we visited the morgue.
Ooh,
which
no.
was like, and they were like, nothing's been changed. Like you're sitting on the concrete benches where doctors would have sat and like watched them
dead
open
people.
Up a body to see. Yeah. And like these, I can't think of what they're called, but like those, like you see them, where they like slide the bodies in.
Oh yeah.
But they were like stacked like eight high, and some of them were so high. And like the guide made the thing of like, can anyone guess how they got bodies up that high?
How?
And we were like, no. And he was like, yeah, we can't either. Like, we have no idea. Like, if there was some other lift that isn't here anymore or some other, but apparently there were bodies like, it was like 15 feet in the air, like wondering how on earth. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was very interesting, though. And then, you know, the Statue of Liberty is that thing that you see and it you're like, of course, it's impressive. And then you're at the bottom of it. And it's just like, it's just kind of amazing to look up and see it.
Wild.
So that was our really early day. And we'd had a couple of other early days where we'd done like a river cruise and another early day. Gosh, why did we get up so early? There were like 3 days that for me, once again, like it wasn't so much for them. Like they're, you know, my sister and my niece both have very early, like they get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Ew.
Regularly. Like that's, yeah. Isn't
oh, I'm
that
so
nuts?
Sorry, you guys. No.
Yeah, they have very, very early hours for their jobs. But it was really, really fun. And I like the other thing that we did together was that I had them over. I had, you know, so yeah. It was my sister, my niece, and we had this conversation many times, and we've just decided that aunt is good enough. We've always called her my Aunt Corrine. She's really my mom's first cousin, and they're of a similar age, so they kind of grew up together. So I think she's technically like my second cousin, but it's Aunt Corrine.
Love
it. We just go with that. And, you know, I had them over, and I had them come up, and we kind of went down to Riverbank Park, and they sort of like saw what that was like. And then we ended up taking the bus back up because that's that really intense hill back up and over. And I didn't want anyone to have to like walk that because we walked a lot while they were here.
Yeah.
And it was really fun to like have them over in my apartment. And I had a few friends, my friends, Annabelle, Jesse, and Claire all came, and we just like ordered Thai food from down the street.
That
and
sounds
just sort of
relaxing.
Like, it was really fun. And, you know, more than really fun, it felt really important to me. Like, to have my friends who live in New York and my family who doesn't, like, all get together and just sort of, like, talk about experiences. And certainly we talked a bit about politics and about New York. And, you know, I live a very different lifestyle from really anyone in my family.
Sure.
You know, I'm a single, childless, middle-aged gay guy who lives in New York City with a couple of roommates. Like,
Dreams.
But it's, you know, it's also easy for me to feel a little sheepish about it.
Oh, really?
Ugh. Oh, sure.
I'm jealous. Minus the roommates. No offense to the roommates, but otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I love my life. There's so much about my life that I love, but there is part of me that sometimes can feel a little underachieved or just a little strange. And it was really lovely to have them over and be like, oh, your apartment is wonderful and your neighborhood's very cool, and look at that view. So it was fun, and it felt really, really nice. And we had a really, really good night that went very late with the knowledge that we all had to be up really early in the morning. Oof. But it was still really fun. And then one of the last things that we did after we'd gotten off from doing the Ellis Island, because we ended up figuring out that we could from the Statue of Liberty, get on then the New York bound cruise.
Oh, good.
That just like, pulled into Ellis Island, sat there for a minute, and then let us off in Manhattan. So we didn't have to get back New Jersey again. And, you know, my Aunt Corrine, as we call her, her brother Dale was probably the first gay person that I was aware of, certainly in my family.
Amazing.
And, you know, sadly, most of us only knew that he was gay from the perspective that he had HIV and then later AIDS. And he did pass away from complications due to AIDS in 1996. But, you know, Corrine had asked him, what would you like to be done when you pass? And he had said, I don't care, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of my attitude. Like, I have ideas, but like, I'm not going to be here. Like, you do what's going to make you feel better, because it's not really going to be about me at that point. But what Corrine did, and I think that she actually said to him that this is what I'm going to do. She had him cremated, and she had bits of his remains put into like camera film containers, you know, those little.
Oh, yeah.
And so she takes him on vacations. She's traveled everywhere. She's been all over Europe and all over Asia and all over Africa. And she'll take little parts of him and then leave parts of him behind. And Dale at one point lived in New York City. And oh, my gosh, she told the story of visiting him in New York City in 1969.
Holy shoot. My God.
Can you even imagine? Like, that's the year that like gay liberation was born in New York City. Like, to have been here. And she talks about how like the roommate took her to every gay bar and they just spent all night. But like, just like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous.
That's amazing.
Like, I want to be here now. Like, this is my era. Like, I think that I was born at the right time. I'm here at the right time. But I want to just peek in. I want to just like visit for a couple of hours, right?
Same. Yeah.
But she had not been back to New York since his passing. Like, her last visit was in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
So she really wanted to put part of him in the waters in New York.
Yeah.
So when we got off the ferry, all of Lower Manhattan is under construction right now. I don't know what the hell they're doing with it, but you can't get anywhere near the water right now in Battery Park or Battery Park. Well, so we walked up to Battery Park City, and I knew there was a really cute area where there's actually a little thing that sort of juts out into the water a bit. So we went out there and kind of, you know, she shared a few memories and I said a few things, and I didn't know Dell well. I think I only met him the one time, and it was when he was pretty ill and living in the Bailey Boucher house in Seattle. But, you know, I do think that everything leads to something else. And I do think that Dale led the way to my mom being able to accept me more when I came out, because she had had a cousin who she loved dearly. And I have a cousin who we all love dearly, who had come out when I was very young. And I think that Dale helped pave the way for Billy. I think that they both helped he hates when I call him Billy. Bill. They both paved the way for me. You know, I just think that it's all those little things are so important. And I do think that it made a difference. So it was a wonderful thing to sort of be part of and to be there as she, you know, released part of Into the Hudson. And now he's in New York again.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear your song that you're going to write about it.
Oh, I'll figure something out.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot there. I feel like you could grasp onto some fun.
It takes me a while to process things like that, but I do like the idea of it. So that's not nothing, but that's kind of my week. I will say that I also did have my eyeglass appointment.
Yes, yes.
And I really like to talk about how my eye prescription hasn't changed at all since I was 16 years old. And that remains mostly true. But guess what I found out?
Oh, no.
I'm getting older, Vanya.
That's bullshit. Me too. And I don't like it.
Isn't it nuts? So all that it means is that, like, it's getting harder for me to, the nearsighted thing is kicking in a little bit. And the eye doctor did say, you're fine for now. You don't really have to worry about it. But probably in the next 4 or 5 years, you'll need to buy glasses. They don't call them bifocals anymore. I think they're called progressive lenses.
Oh.
Where, like, you kind of look out the top of it, which kind of naturally, as you're looking farther, you would look out the top. And then as you read, you're kind of looking down. Oh, they're just slightly different.
That would make me so nauseous. We'll see how it goes when I get to that point. Because I will say, though, I feel like when I'm watching TV, because I've been complaining, I'm like, we need a bigger TV. This TV's tiny. But it might be just that my eyes are not as sharp.
Right.
So I think I might need... What happens when people get old? Can they not see far away or can they not see close up?
It's a little bit of both.
Wonderful.
It sounds like... it sounds more like yours is harder with farther away things if it's the TV.
Yes. It seems like that's the case for me.
And I was talking to my sister who was visiting about it because she has a similar thing. And she's like, she never got the progressive. She just takes off her glasses when she's looking up close, you know.
Okay.
But it sounds like you might need to go see an eye doctor and be like, hey, the TV is not clear. You might need to get a updated prescription for that.
Damn it.
You don't wear glasses, though.
I have glasses for when I'm like staring at the computer for a really long time. But that's about it. You know, it makes me dizzy. It makes me dizzy to wear glasses. I don't know how people do it. Because you don't get dizzy, right? Or do you?
I only wear them when I'm home in general. And I think that I have gotten used to it. It is a different... Like, I have a really hard time with depth perception when I have my glasses on. Like, I will literally just knock a glass over.
Yeah.
Which is why it was really hard to wait tables in them for a minute. Because for a while, when you couldn't get an eye appointment, like, I would literally just... I would have to set my hand on a table and, like, slowly move until I felt the glass and then pick it up. Because I was literally just, like, bull in China shop. I was like... psh, psh, psh. Just could not tell how far away anything was. Yeah, it was quite the comedy of errors. So at some point, you might need to get...
I'm going
to
check them out. I'll check her out. You know, I feel like I've gone through a weird moment. So, I don't know. There, a lot has changed in life recently, you know, for me, just like swiftly. And so I don't know. I'm looking outward for things to make me feel better. Like maybe I should get Botox. Cause you know, you look in the mirror when things are hard, you're kind of like, how can I make myself feel better? Do I need a new outfit? What do I need? But it's just like making me look at myself and I'm aging. And I, you know, it's okay. It's just, I feel like every so often I stop and I'm like, whoa, I've aged a bit more now. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like we're so young in our heads. Like, you and I are just the young little twinks going out and doing whatever the hell we wanted. But
yeah,
I'm like that in my brain.
Yeah.
And then I see myself in the mirror. I'm like, who is that?
Well, and the craziest part of all of it is, listen, Vanya, let's face it. We're doing pretty well. Like, we both look pretty damn good. But of course, I have moments where, like, the other day I went to, like, do, like, a selfie with New York in the background. I'm like, who's that old man in this picture?
I know. And it's like, we need to love it, right? Love. I don't want to be those people who doesn't like myself or like the way I look. It's just... a little jarring, I'll say, at times.
And I don't mean to go dark with it, but like the other day, one of my roommates was like, how did we get this old? And I said, well, if you want the actual answer, it's because we didn't die.
Good, Mike. Strong, very important.
You know,
yeah.
I know people that don't have the luxury of getting older.
That's true.
So I try to remember that, like, it's hard, but it's a blessing.
Yeah, good. I love it, Mike. That's good.
On that wonderful note, yeah. Anything else going on this week, or should we talk about we're digging? Because I don't really have anything, but I have a little thing I'll talk about.
Well, I'll have a little thing I'll talk about for digging. Because otherwise, this week has just been, you know, work and kids and kids and work, yeah. And work and kids and kids and work. Bah, bah, bah. But I have nothing new, but I was, well, okay, so actually one thing I'll tell you about today, we're recording, it's April 24th, which is the Armenian Remembrance, the Armenian Genocide Remembrance Day, which is really, it's an important day because, you know, yeah. Never forget, truthfully, that people can be wiped out by weird political and country, you know, like stuff like that. The crazy thing, though, is there's like a swath of people who don't believe it happened. Partially the people who, you know, the Ottoman Empire, which was the
sure.
The aggressors. I just don't get it, though. Like, why? Just let us have it. Like, my grandmother, who was, so it was 109 years ago. But she was one of the people that was with her family forced. So some people were murdered and killed and some people were deported and some people were forced to march, like death march through the Syrian desert from Armenia to Syria. And my family made it, but barely. My grandmother was a couple weeks old when it happened. My great grandmother had just given birth when her husband was like, you know, killed. All the men in the village were gathered to talk, and then they of course just like murdered them all. And my great grandmother and her two daughters and then very newly born baby, 2 weeks, which I cannot imagine this, was forced to walk with many people from their town, and all of their stuff was, you know, taken. And I don't know, it's just like it's really sort of not totally defined me, but definitely given me certain ways about me, knowing that like there's people who are like, no, this didn't happen to you, and you're like, or to your family, and I'm like, there's some real fucked up things that we have to just remember and stop politicizing. I don't know. Anyways, so this is the Remembrance Day today, and I'm grateful that my grandmother, you know, my great grandmother had set her down by a tree just to like die because she really thought everybody was it was just the end. And some, because they did save some older people. So like a really old man picked up my grandmother, the baby, and carried her to the, and they all made it eventually to Syria, to Aleppo. It's fucking crazy. And so She, you know, she did stay with the great grandmother, and it's, you know, there's a lot of darkness within all of it. But I'm happy that I wouldn't be here if that man didn't pick that baby up and carry her. You know, it's freaking nuts. So anyways, remember, and when someone's like, it didn't happen, just think twice. It's, come on now. Yeah. And then I'll just say, I watched the new Ghosts. Are you up to date with that?
Yes, I am.
Jeez Louise. Hetty's story was intense. Uh-huh. I don't want to give away anything.
That was a moment. I was not prepared.
I was not prepared
for that at all.
Because it's a comedy. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely a comedy. I love it. There's dark jokes in there, but this one was, it was like, I think they could have even gone farther, but I was still surprised by how dark it was. We find out how Hetty died, so yeah
it was definitely a surprise. I definitely was like, oh shikes, okay, wow. Mm-hmm, we're gonna do that. Mm-hmm, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. And then I, you know, we'd kind of known the other thing that was coming for a minute,
right? I'm so glad that
it was,
that was stressing me out, to be honest with you. Poor flower.
I could see that appealing to your claustrophobia.
Yep, exactly. And then going through the dirt. No, no way. Mm-mm, no. Like there's some Puritan woman stuck in the dirt somewhere.
Right. Terrifying.
Nightmare. But anyways, yeah, that's, I just been digging that. I watched the newest Dance, So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, okay. For sure.
We'll get there. But yeah, tell me, so are you digging anything or?
Yeah, I don't have a new thing either. I feel like I talked about so much last time, but I will say that Shogun ended last night. And listen, I know it's not for everybody. I'm not even saying like go out and watch it. I will say it's a very satisfying ending. It does not at all do the things you think it's going to do.
Okay.
Also, I will fully confess, it's a series that I watched most of the time being like, oh, I think I know what's going on. in the end, I was like, okay, I mostly knew what was going on. I think that I mostly was able to follow that. It's very complicated, but it's just beautifully done. And I will say that it's a very satisfying, if very not at all where I thought it was going to go, ending.
Okay.
So yeah, worth it for that. How about Doom Without? Because I got a doozy this week.
Well, it's, I have a small one.
It's not really, but it's, you know. Okay, go with yours.
I'll just go with it. It's like, and if there's any advice you could give me, Mike, And I know that you don't have to negotiate a lot because you're very lucky. I know there's goods and bads about being partnered with the lover. But like, I think I need like a mini little tiny break, not like a relationship break, but I just need a break of like, I need to be able to watch whatever I want at night. I am weary of negotiating everything, you know, having to think of someone else's, what would you like? Well, let's talk about it. Like just every little thing, like what are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? I just need a teeny weeny break. And I think that probably happens to a lot of people, but I'm like, I think I feel guilty that I'm feeling like, so my God, I just, you know, I just want to stop negotiating. I just want to be in charge for a while.
Well, here's what I find about compromise. Don't do it if it hurts inside, because either way you're screwed, and eventually you'll find you might as well have some pride. I'm quoting it wrong. This is Amy Ray from the Nego Girls. Yeah, I don't know, but I do think that there's such a thing as being like, this week I'm going to do what I want to do. And if that involves like going to another room, like you have other rooms, be like, tonight I'm going to go to this room and do what I want to do. Yeah. Or tonight, you know, I think that that's allowed. I think that there's a fallacy in compromise, because certainly there are things that you have to, but there are other things that you're allowed to be like, no, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to do it, that's totally fine. You go do your thing.
Yeah.
But like, you're allowed to be two separate people. Like
for
you're
sure.
allowed to have two separate kinds of wants. They can't be at complete odds with each other, but
totally.
You're certainly allowed to be like, listen, tonight I'm gonna go eat Chinese food. If you don't want Chinese food, you eat whatever you want. You have to have a certain amount of like, this is what I want.
I think two things are true at once for me, where I want to see that person after everybody's in bed and stuff like that, because I'm like, oh, I miss you. But then the other thing is true, where I'm like, I just need to be in charge. So I don't, it's a weird, maybe it's a codependent thing, where I'm like, I need to see this person, and then like, okay, you know, maybe it's that. And then the other thing, and I think the reason the weariness has happened, and I'm sure that my partner feels similar, but is because they are at home and I am at home. I'm working from home and they are, you know, from at home. And it's like, normally there's time away and there's not a lot of time away. So it's negotiating lunch. It's negotiating everything. So there you have it. And so, yeah, I'm just going to try and be more aware of it and say, this is what I'd like to do, and it's not going to hurt any feelings, I don't think so. Because, you know,
right.
I do care. I mean, one of the reasons I think that we've stayed pretty happy over the many years is that we really do care about each other's feelings. You know, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I want to be polite in a way. You know, not polite like where I'm not myself, but like, you know. Oh, actually,
yeah, absolutely.
One thing happened this week. We had our 25th year date anniversary.
Oh, right. Yeah. And that was like 4 days ago.
Yeah. And we went out on my friend Rosie and her boyfriend Felipe came and hung out with the kids. The kids had a blast, which was great. So, and we went out for a couple hours and we did a tasting menu at this Japanese, omakase, you know, sushi restaurant. It was so good. And it was, there was like a celebrity chef there having dinner. So it felt really fancy schmancy. We ate at the sushi bar. It was so great. We had a blast. It was the most wonderful date night ever. And I love him.
That's awesome.
I'm so happy that we are together. But yeah. But what do you...
I gotcha.
What could you do without?
So this is what happened to me today. Because my family's been here and it's been a lot of early mornings, like I haven't worked out at all, like while they've been here, basically. Which for me is kind of difficult. Like I am a person that has a pattern. Like I like to get up. This, like, mm-hmm. I don't really feel like I'm ready to start my day until I've done some kind of workout. So today, getting up, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for a run, but not my usual big run. I have a smaller, it's like a little over 2.5 miles. It's basically in my quote unquote backyard. Like,
okay.
I'm never far from my apartment. So that, honestly, if I felt like I could be like, and I'm done, and I could go home. And I did the whole thing, but so these headphones that I'm wearing right now, they're like quote unquote wireless, but there's a wire that connects the two of them. And they're kind of I prefer them, though I have upgraded, quote unquote, and bought the new ones that are just the buds. I don't wear those as often. I don't dislike them, but I don't know. I prefer these. They feel very secure. And on the other ones, I had done the thing where you put them in. Because usually I'm aware that I have apparently bizarrely cavernous ear canals. So like on these, I have like the biggest fit possible. But I put in the other ones as is, and you do a little like sound check, and then it's like, perfect. This is the right size. Like this fits your ear perfectly. And I was like, really? Okay, I guess I'll believe you. Like, I guess that's fine. So I couldn't find these wireless ones today. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll just use the wireless ones. Like that'll be, it was a disaster.
Oh, no.
The left one did not fit in my ear barely at all. Like it kept like coming loose, but you also control them by tap. So I would like try to tap them in and it would like skip the song or skip back the song or pause the song.
Oh my gosh.
And like literally three times they fell out of my ear and I had to catch them as I was running and like put them back in. It's fine. Like I have the things to make them bigger. I will just now know that like, nope, they are not the right size. You need to go ahead and put a slightly larger thing in there. But it was so dumb. I'm like, I'm just trying to go for a run. And like literally like a comedy routine of like, nope, tap and then pausing and then trying to have it go again and then fall. Yeah, it was a whole thing. So that's what I could do without. So we'll get that fixed. And then, yeah, so of course, topic. So you think you can dance? I have thoughts. How should we start this?
Well,
it was a Broadway.
Yeah, Broadway. I don't know. I find it jarring the way they're doing it.
It's so hard. Like, I'm really trying to focus on the positive.
Yeah.
Kat Dealy was not meant to be a host for three audience members.
Adam kept saying that last night. We watched it last night, and Adam's like, why is there no one in the audience?
Why is there not an audience? Why was there not an audience for the Broadway number? Why did they not film the Broadway number and the two competition numbers the same night that they do the rest of it with an
bizarre
audience? Why are you doing this with three people in the audience? It was so weird.
Yeah, it was not ideal. I have to agree.
My phone gave it a thumbs up, even though we don't agree.
How dare you?
It was just weird. And like Al Blackstone choreographed the Broadway number. And then we had teams between him and Sarah Oglebe. And one was doing sort of an on the town American in Paris thing. And the other was doing like more of a cabaret. And we found out there's like an Anthony DeCayla kind of romance brewing. I guess that was kind of fun. I don't know.
I was like, guys, I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, I don't need to, the house. They talk about the house. It's such a vintage reality TV. Come on now.
And even the girls being like, it's us forever. And I was like, it's not, because this competition's 2 weeks long.
Exactly.
I will also say that at one point it cut to Roman, because he was talking about how, because he'd had a, I don't know, like a mean dance instructor that he'd taken up boxing.
Yeah.
And it was like him jump roping with his shoes off. I do not recommend that. That's a very dicey thing to do, to jump rope with your shoes off. Just a word of advice from me to you. That can be very painful.
I definitely was like, what's happening? Why is he boxing? I mean, he looks cool, but.
And I don't know. It was just weird. Like the numbers were fine, but as much as I at one point thought like I'm going to enjoy not hearing the audience cheer, I missed the audience cheering. Like, it just all felt a little airless. It all felt a little flat.
Because they get entered. I mean, if you're doing Broadway, especially if you're doing Broadway week.
Right. What is the thought process of like, well, for the Broadway numbers, we shouldn't have any audience around.
It
felt nuts to me.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, you know, you end up with Roman, Anthony, DeCayla, and Braylon again in the bottom four. And once again, won't spoil anything other than it is really hard to compare a ballroom soloist.
I know. He did a good job, though.
They all did a good job. Like, I think all four of them danced really, really well.
Yeah.
I feel sort of bad for Braylon, because I think he's such a talented dancer, and he ended up in the bottom four 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And
He just seems very young. Like, you know.
And maybe that's part of it. Like, there were certain flinging himself around that felt a little out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas it did feel like Anthony would sort of fling himself, but seemed very
with
in
intention.
Control of like, yes. And all of his sort of like falling to the ground that felt a little wild and reckless, but also looked very like purposeful.
Yeah, agreed. I thought he did it. I mean, I really like Anthony. I could do without him talking, but I think he's a great dancer.
Yeah. And I wrote, I guess I agree with who goes home, but it just kind of sucks. And I'm really trying to live in that world of, I'm grateful that it exists in any form than that it doesn't. But listen, Fox, you're just fucking some really basic things up.
Exactly.
Like, you're making some really dumb choices and it's making it hard to love you.
I agree. I do. I'm confused. It's like, it's the, yeah, I don't know what they're doing. And what I'm trying to think is, like, people who are just coming to this for their first time, are they enjoying it because they don't know what they're missing?
Right. I'd love to know. Love to know if there are people that are like, because I don't think any reality competition has changed its format in the dramatic way that this show has changed it.
Because why would you? If it wasn't broken.
Yeah. Right. And they do then in the end have an audience. So it's not that they're avoiding audiences altogether. They're just barely performing in front of them.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Oh, jinx. You don't get coke. So that's it. Anything random for us? I have a couple of random things.
I have a fun random thing.
Sweet, give it.
This weekend, my daughter doesn't know yet, but we are going to go and do a viewing of a taping of American Idol.
Oh, fun. Yeah. That's exciting.
But the crazy thing is, Mike, they're like, you have to wear a nice outfit, but they're like, wear comfortable shoes because you'll be standing for 5 to 6 hours.
Oh, God.
And yeah. I'm like, I can do that, but my sweet, darling 10-year-old is going to complain a bit, but we're going to get through it because I think it's a fun experience. It's like a once in a lifetime. You have to, our friend put a, you know, you have to be like chosen to do it. So very exciting. Yeah.
That's fun. Excited to hear about that.
I know. I can't wait. I'll tell you next week.
So my couple of random things. First of all, as I was going through making notes for the So You Think You Can Dance section, I just noticed that I had written down and hadn't talked about that there was an Olivia Rodrigo song on So You Think You Can Dance last week that I didn't know. And I own both of her albums.
I love that song. So those are just random songs.
It sounded great. Do you know what it's from?
Yes, it's from Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the breeze, your footsteps. Okay,
I did know she had a song from that. All right, I'll have to check that out.
Oh, you'll love it. It's honestly, it's so good. Love it.
I'll get that one. And my other, I'm not going to say where this is from in case, this will come out tomorrow, so it won't matter. But just here's a really random fact that Pico is a measurement prefix meaning 1 trillionth. That's all. Just a random piece of trivia from me to the rest of the world. Huh. Pico.
Pico.
Pico means 1 trillionth.
So is that like 1 trillionth de gallo? I'm just kidding. That's Spanish.
That's all that I could think. No, I love it. That's all that I could think as well. That 100%. I was like, okay, so I guess it's 1 trillionth of gallo. I'm going to put on my tacos here. I love it. All right. I know you are so busy and I know you have a busy day ahead, but I'm glad we can take this little bit of time and
me too.
Have a conversation. I'm going to go see some random Broadway show tonight. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm going to go to TKTS and just treat myself to a ticket. So I'll tell you what that is next week.
Oh, God. Can't wait. I love it.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I love you too.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. Balloons.
I know, it's balloons.
We got balloons.
That's so
today.
Weird. Okay. We're talking about in our FaceTime. The balloon just came out. Who knows? I got two things I wanted today.